Let's talk to that guy, Steve Gadlin. Steve is the guy who used to or still does draw cats for you. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Steve,
how are you?
I'm good. How are you, John?
Good. Do you still draw cats for a living or a side hustle?
As a side hustle, I do. I started up again after a much publicized retirement, John. I'm actually back in the business again.
That's funny because, when I Googled you just to sort of reconnect and see what you're up to, I saw a lot of stories about you quitting the cat drawing gig, but it started back up again, huh?
It's one of those businesses that just pulls you right back in. It's tough to quit, you know? I found a way to do it on an iPad without having to keep a Sharpie supply or a postage supply, and it's been a lot of fun to get back into it.
Oh, really? You have software on your pad that enables you to do this now and then print from your pad?
Oh, I don't even need to print. I just email it or post it on Instagram.
I don't know.
The world's changed, John. It's a whole new market.
Is that a discount, Steve, if we don't get it actually hand-drawn?
It seemed to me like I'm paying for you with a Sharpie in
there. How do you put an iPad in a frame on your bedroom wall?
Yeah, I don't think this is for real.
Well, you can print out your drawing, and you can put it in a frame, and it's still numbered and signed. That's exactly what I thought, but the orders that just keep coming in. So,
seriously,
people dig it. Yeah.
Is it still $9.95 or something like that?
You got it, $9.95.
And how many are you doing these days?
Valentine's Day was very good, so I've probably done a few hundred in the last few weeks.
Really?
Up to about 20,340 something total.
Hold on a second. 20,000 times.
Wow.
It's a lot.
Times, what did we say it was? $19.10.
It was $29.95 for a while because I was trying to slow down the demand by raising the price. but it didn't help.
Do you do anything else besides draw cats?
Believe it or not, I parent and I have a day job. So, I do all sorts of stuff.
You're a superhero,
That's why
Steve.
I had to retire.
He works for a major American consumer electronic corporation. He's got an operation in Chicago, and he's on the software side, if I'm not mistaken.
Do you still do Star Makers?
Say that again?
No, Star Makers. So our cable access show is not happening right now. We kind of lost our access to a studio. But I have a bunch of other little side projects. You know, those of us who have to work in offices every day need these creative explosions. We've got to find a way to entertain ourselves.
So,
right?
John, I think I told you the last time I heard from Steve, he was eavesdropping on me at my health club.
Yeah, you did.
That's right.
Finish that story, Bertrand.
You finish it, Steve.
Well, I happened to hear him, a voice that was so familiar to me in the locker room at the gym I go to, and it turns out it was indeed Steve Bertrand.
But he texted me or sends me a Facebook message because he said, I didn't want to walk around the corner and see you in a towel.
Or less,
That's kind of funny. How I picture him when I hear him on the radio, you know.
I briefly shared a moment of nudity with our former general manager here in the showers at the gym at the old Tribune Tower, and I thought, that's a level of employee-employer intimacy that I wasn't ready for, but, you know, we're all guys here, it's a locker room, and this is fine. It's fine. It's fine. There's no problem. So, you drew cats for a living. Mark Cuban, this is all just a tangent to the reason I called you, Steve.
Sure.
But it still is just such a fun story, your life and your side hustles. Mark Cuban then on the TV show Shark Tank invested in your company. What percentage of your company did he own?
He owned a third of the stick figure cat drawing business for $25,000. And he made his money back and then he divested. So he was in and then he was out.
Did he make more than 25K?
Probably.
I mean, he didn't.
You know,
how was he getting paid?
I'd have to send him checks.
Really?
Yeah.
So he gives you $25,000. You amp up your business, and being on the show was I'm sure that helped your business, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it was the business.
And so were those hard checks to write or easy checks to write?
Well, the first one was really hard because I thought I was the victim of a hustle. I thought, wait a second, this is all a scam. This guy's not a billionaire. He doesn't. His TV show was a fake. He just wants checks for thousands of dollars from this dude.
Wait, you're thinking about that? That was your impression of Mark Cuban?
Well, it was really, he was very pushy about getting those first checks from me. So I thought, wait a second, what am I missing here? This guy's a billionaire. Why is he so invested in this? But it turns out he wanted to be able to talk highly of it in interviews, and I think I was actually the first person to send him a return on any of his Shark Tank investments. So he was, you know, he was boasting about it on radio shows and TV shows. And yeah, it ended up being great for business. So
check you out.
Smart guy.
Yeah. So now you're doing it. So if I wanted you to draw a cat for me, I would say, okay, I'm a radio announcer, I'm a teacher, I'm a plumber, whatever, and I want a cat for me or for my friend who's a teacher or a plumber or whatever. And then you'll, with that thumbnail sketch of information, you then hand draw a cat for that person. And by the way, it's not a nuanced, shaded, multicolor spectacular. At least they weren't when you started.
They still aren't.
They're stick figures.
Two-dimensional, pretty much a stick figure.
Like a hangman.
A little color to them. Yeah, kind of like a hangman. Circle with triangles for ears.
And people give you $10 for that.
They do. Before I've even drawn anything, I get the $10. For all they know, I'm fleeing with it. But
how long does it take you to draw a cat for somebody?
Yeah, so when I was doing it on paper, sometimes people would wait 6 to 8 weeks because I'd have such a crazy backlog and there was so much involved in shipping these things. But now sometimes they get it in a matter of hours. The time it takes me to draw is probably about 5 minutes tops for the really complicated ones.
Do you feel guilty about this?
No, because you know, there are so many businesses out there that are actually giving people zero for the money they give them. And I'm giving them exactly what I tell them I'm giving them. You know, they're paying $10 for a cat drawing. They know that going in.
Right. And, it's not like you under-deliver.
No.
It's a cat drawing.
I'm not selling a product and making false claims about what it'll do for your life. I'm very upfront and honest with people. So,
yeah, Steve Bertram, what were you thinking?
I was just going to say, Steve, it's kind of a funny question coming from a guy who sits on a stool and talks into a microphone.
But I do feel guilty. There's no way I should be getting paid for this.
I talk for a living.
I know. What's that? There's no heavy lifting there. Okay.
I envy you all, though. I think you guys have an awesome gig. It's wonderful.
We do. So, and you've created some interesting opportunities for yourself. One time, here's the reason you're on the radio. Elif, do I need to pause here? Elif, what's our commercial inventory like? Can we go till 27? Elif, I'm looking at my producer. She said, yeah, keep talking. So, Bill and Wendy and Steve Bertrand were talking the other day about credit card or IRS scams and ripoffs. Bill was getting a phone call from somebody he was suspicious about. And the conversation they had went around to, well, does anybody ever try and tease or play the scammer along? So when the friend of the Nigerian prince reaches out to you, do you? And I used to play with these people, but it never went very far. What's your story?
Yeah, so I received an email, one that probably looks like one you all received. But the pitch on this one was this guy wanted me, he's from Nairobi, Kenya, and he was offering his services as a movie maker and a writer and said that for only $50,000, I could own an interest in this play he was about to write, which was going to make millions of dollars. So I was very interested in that because here he was at least saying he was a writer, and I knew he wasn't going to get many people biting for $50,000. So I wrote him back and I said, I tell you what, man, I'll give you $50. If you write a play, it has to be to my specification. I'll give you the plot and you'll get $50 for that. And then I'm going to produce that play in Chicago, one of the greatest theater cities in the world. And I'll send you a video of the play you made for me. So he said, okay. And I sent him a plot line that was incredibly convoluted. It filled with a lot of pop culture references that I knew he wouldn't have access to in Kenya. Just this ridiculous story. And he sent me back a play a month later that was just terrible. And not, you know, it was partially terrible because of the ridiculous plot I made him write. But also his command of the English language was very limited. And from that point, we went ahead and produced the play. I put out a legitimate casting call. We got real actors in the city to perform his play verbatim as written, treating it like it was a mammoth production. And it ended up being great. It was so fun to watch.
It must have worked on both levels, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic to see these actors give, you know, try to wrap their mouths around these impossible lines and, you know, really give it a serious treatment. And he then wrote a sequel for me. And then he wrote a musical for me. He's written a whole web series for me that's yet to be produced.
No kidding.
And, yeah, and my favorite script that he's written for me. So this is right after Shark Tank. I felt like I had some money to spend. I paid him $500 to write a script called The Big Lebowski 2, where he had never seen the movie The Big Lebowski. All he had was my one paragraph description about the first movie, a list of characters, and then he had to write the second movie for
okay,
me.
Okay, before you finish that thought, though, was there anything, was there, I'm thinking of, like, Lisa, I'm thinking of a line or was there a moment in the first production, a line or something that was the very essence of what the two of you had created? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there is, and I'm digging through my drawer now because I have it printed on a T-shirt.
The line?
The quote is, you know we have all the time in this world, then we may think.
You know we have all the time in this world, then we may think.
Yes, which was delivered by actor Peter Kermitis very seriously, very passionately, but an absolutely meaningless collection of words that was really fun to to add meaning to.
And you kind of know where he's going with that, but that's not how you say that. So
sure.
Then he writes you a Big Lebowski?
Yeah, the Big Lebowski 2, the sequel that probably will never get made by the Coen brothers, but we've got the script, and it's also it's a wonderful and terrible read.
Did you ever meet this person in person?
No, he has asked a few times if I would find him a job in the United States and fly him out of Kenya. And I'll be honest, it's really, it's a tricky relationship because I'm trying really hard never to exploit him. He, you know, that first exchange was probably a little bit exploitative because I felt he was trying to exploit me for money. But since then, we've developed a bit of a relationship, and he kind of understands why his stuff has appealed to me. And we've gone back and forth a few times, and we never met in person, but we've definitely sent videos back and forth and have sent emails back and forth as well.
No kidding. So you've laid eyes on this guy. Does he live in a hut? Does he have a house? Does he have a family?
He has a girlfriend and a child, and his latest thing is now he's trying to sell a book that he's written about his life. But I don't know what his living situation is like. I know when the mall, there was that big massacre at a mall in Nairobi that was in the news a lot several years ago, and yeah. I checked in on him and he was okay. And we've maintained a correspondence, but I try to keep him at an arm's length because there's not much I can do to really help him, you know.
Well, and I also think you need to be careful about a friendship, even if your motives are good, with somebody whose initial outreach to you was to steal from you, right? I mean, do you think
who knows? Maybe for that $50,000, he would have delivered a return on my investment.
Well, he did it for $50,000. He did it for $50,000.
Yeah, he did.
But that's it. So I wonder, did he like mass mail those out, and did people send him checks wanting to get in? You know, those things, however preposterous, work. I wonder if he was making money on that scheme.
I think, you know, that one in particular, I'm not sure. My guess is it was one of many that he was sending out with many different themes. And I would be surprised if anyone bit the way I did. But I saw it as an opportunity to have a little fun. So.
Yeah, right. Right, because maybe people were sending him money, maybe they weren't. But he wasn't writing plays for people. You're the only one that said, I call BS, but yeah, let's do a play anyway, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it was obvious from what he delivered to me that he wasn't really prepared to write a play.
Wait, I got to do what now?
Yeah, he probably Googled how to write a play, and that was, you know, the format of what we got. I had a real dream of producing a documentary. So the third play he wrote for me was a musical, and we never produced that one yet. And I wanted to produce it off-Broadway and fly him to the United States to see it and just tell this story of this random encounter is now giving this playwright in Nairobi, Kenya, an opportunity to watch his show play off-Broadway. You know, I think it'd be such a cool story, but I couldn't get anyone interested to help me put that together, so never panned out.
I wouldn't give up on that because I would imagine the Hollywood treatment of it or the Broadway treatment could make the play, you know, just enough better than it is, the one that he wrote for you, that you know, it was a sort of a ironic or inadvertent hit, right?
Sure.
And I don't know, there's a movie or a musical in that, if you ask me. I mean, I think that's it could be a touching story, the redemption of the scammer by the scammy, or I don't know. I'm sure you've thought it through. I think there's a story there. But I've also been told by people who have good story ideas that it's not the idea, it's the people that make the movie or the play. There's a lot of good ideas out there. Those plays still don't just come to fruition because you had a good idea. You need to get lucky and find somebody who has the money and access, or is the producer, is the star, right? Yeah.
And with all these stick figure cats to draw, who has the time, John? You know, it's also these kids I got to raise, I guess, legally.
How many kids you got? How many kids you and your wife have?
Who knows? No, three of them. But yes.
What are their ages?
11, 9, and 7 right now. Yeah.
Steve Gadlin.
A handful.
From Chicago. All right, Steve, what can we do for you? Thanks for the story. That's a lot of fun.
Of course.
Anything I can do for you these days? I mean, how do I get a stick figure cat if I want one?
Yeah, so I'm still selling them at iwanttodrawacatforyou.com.
That was available, huh?
Yeah, if you're on Twitter. Oh, it was, believe it or not. It was.
Imagine that.
The domain was available.
What are the chances?
Yeah, and you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at catdrawingguy. And you know what? I've got a bunch of other crazy random projects coming up, and if you follow me there, you'll hear all about them. I'll keep in touch with you, John.
Were you going to tell me about a turkey penis or something like that?
You're close. You're really close. I had a project involving raccoon penis bones for a while
that,
believe it or not, fell flat on its face.
You were selling them, weren't you?
I was trying to. Someone showed me that they were available for 45 cents on some taxidermy website, and I figured if I write a song and make a dance similar to how I did with the cat drawings, that I could sell them for at least 10 bucks a piece. So I bought 1,000 of them and ran a Kickstarter so that it would be, I either sell 1,000 of them or I sell 0 of them. It had to be all or nothing.
Yeah.
And as I was getting press and momentum and they were selling, for some reason Kickstarter pulled the plug and all the momentum fell out, and now I've got a box of 1,000 raccoon penis bones in my office at work. So that's my story. I'm sure you hear this one all the time.
How's that conversation go with your wife? Hey, honey, I got an idea.
Well, that's why they're at work. She wouldn't let me have them shipped home. And the funny thing about where I work is you can't take a box out of the building without it being inspected by security. So they're just going to stay there unless I smuggle them out one at a time in my pockets. But I think I'm content to let them sit in a box in a cabinet.
Always a pleasure talking to Steve Gadlin.
You too, John.
Concludes our conversation today. Stay in touch, Steve, and let us know if you got another project. We'll be happy to promote it, all right?
I certainly will. Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
I want to draw a cat for you, Steve Gadlin.